Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Coincidence? I think not. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere, even at 30,000 feet. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's ChumbaCasino.com and live the Chumba life. No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See
terms and conditions. 18 plus. Hi, healers. It's Allison here. So I want to tell you a little bit more about how Taylor and I got started with our podcast. And the platform we've been using, which is Anchor, has been so user-friendly and so amazing. I just want to tell anyone else out there that is thinking about starting a podcast, Anchor is the way to go. First of all, it's completely free. So, hello. Second of all, there's so many creation tools that allow you to record and edit your podcast right from your phone or computer. It's crazy. I'm recording this right from my phone, and it literally just looks like the record button on your videos or your Instagram. So it really is such a user-friendly platform. And the coolest thing is you can add any song from Spotify directly to your episodes too. And the possibilities are seriously endless for what you can create, whether it's music analysis, your own radio show, or something the world's never even seen before. Anchor also distributes your podcast for you, so it can be heard on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and so many other platforms. And you can even make money from your podcast with no minimum listenership. So it's everything you need to make a podcast in one place. And like I said, it's so user-friendly. I recommend Anchor. Go to anchor.fm to get started, or the Anchor app. See you later, healers.
Hi, I'm Allison.
And I'm Taylor.
And together, we're the Anxiety Chicks.
Each week, we will dive deep into a different topic about anxiety and the real-life experiences we all go through,
while giving you all the top tools and tips you need for your journey to recovery.
Our degrees may say therapist and dietitian, but together we are just real chicks on our own healing journeys too.
Join us as we take you from panic to power and reduce the stigma of mental health. Remember, you're never alone, and we're all in this together.
Hi, healers. Allison here. So I want to talk to y'all a little bit about one of our new sponsors, BetterHelp. I'm so excited to tell you about this online counseling platform because as a licensed therapist, I'm a huge advocate of mental health awareness and truly believe in providing affordable counseling services to anyone, anywhere. Let's face it, there's so many areas in the United States and around the world that can make it so difficult to find affordable counseling. And especially if you live in a more rural area, it can be really hard to find a counselor, which is why I love this online platform. BetterHelp is an online mental health healing platform that provides online counseling and matches you with your own licensed professional therapist. It's not a crisis line. It's not self-help. It's a professional counseling service done securely online and is available worldwide. What's even better is that there are a number of different licensed counselors who specialize in all different areas of mental health. BetterHelp makes it so easy to log onto your account at any time and contact your therapist directly. You'll get timely and thoughtful responses and can schedule as many weekly video or phone sessions as you would like. As a therapist, I know that it's not always possible to find the right therapist for your needs, especially the very first time. So BetterHelp has actually made it so easy to facilitate great therapeutic matches. And if you don't find a connection with your first counselor, there's absolutely no charge to change counselors if you ever need to. How amazing is that? And if you find that you're struggling financially, they also have financial aid available. So we have a special offer for all Anxiety Chick listeners today. Sign up now and receive 10% off your first month. Just visit BetterHelp.com/TheAnxietyChicks. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P, /TheAnxietyChicks, and join over 500,000 people who are taking charge of healing their mental health with an experienced counselor today.
Hi, everyone. Welcome back to the Anxiety Chicks podcast. I'm Allison Sepinera.
And I'm Taylor.
And we are so excited to be back here. We apologize for our break we took last week. But, you know, things happen. And we appreciate everyone being understanding, especially during this time. you know, 2020, whatever. I can't even talk about 2020, but
I feel like you and I were on the same page, like the same wavelength last week.
Yes,
though. So like I get this message all the time and people are like, right before I start my period, I'm like a crazy woman. And I'm like, I just like black out. I feel like it's like, it takes a whole week of my month.
Can I just tell you, and this is actually can segue into a couple minutes of me updating you guys on my dating stuff. But when I first started dating the guy I'm dating, I had my period a couple times and I literally just would start crying. And I'm like, this guy's going to think I'm crazy. Like I'm just crying. And I know it was partly related to my anxiety with whatever was happening, but also like
sprinkle in some PMS.
Yes, exactly. I mean, seriously, you can see, I actually talk a lot about this on my page on Instagram because I don't think there's enough education about how much our hormones and chemicals change as women. Yes. when we menstruate. And I mean, they have in the DSM, there's something called premenstrual dysphoric disorder, which essentially is like a depressive episode a week before you get your period. Like a lot of women
For sure diagnosed myself with that before.
I mean, really, you can look it up and see, you know, if it's related to you. But
then I feel bad. I feel bad when I diagnose myself with that because I have definitely like read some stories about some women who do have PMDD. And it's like,
yeah,
I never want to take that from them because it sounds like it's bad. I mean, I'm not going to like undermine mine, but I think my anxiety is aggravated right before my period.
I 100%. For me, it's more anxiety. Yeah, it's less depressive. Yeah. But like, I mean, listen, you guys, I always talk about how depression and anxiety are kind of like siblings. You know, they go hand in hand so often, mostly because the thoughts that we are experiencing when we have anxiety or depression are very similar, but the symptoms can look very different.
Yeah.
So when you break it down, like what's going on in our brain can look very similar with both of them. But the way we behave and our behavior with it can look different. But I know you guys have, if you listened to the dating with anxiety episode yet, if you haven't, go back and listen to it. But I talk all about my anxiety related to when I was dating and also kind of had my period throughout the couple months that we were hanging out because thank God he's so patient and understands isn't really me, but
You just said when I was dating, as in you are boyfriend and girlfriend now.
We are, yes.
Oh!
We talked about it. I know.
We got an update, people.
Yeah. I don't even know if that's, you know, I was talking to a couple people that were DMing me about relationships and asked them saying to me, you know, I don't know what to do because I know people don't really talk about what people are anymore, like the boyfriend thing, you know, right? I guess maybe more often now it's like you just kind of fall into it and you see if you're exclusive and you know you're exclusive, but maybe you don't ever really have the, are you my boyfriend? Are you my girlfriend talk?
What?
Like I don't.
That doesn't work for my anxiety.
People were saying that. People were saying that's kind of what happens now. And I was like, I needed to have that conversation. And I was like,
I'm not a part of Gen Z.
What can I call you? Seriously, I'm like, if that's Gen Z, then yeah, maybe. But if you, I will also say that, okay, maybe that's kind of like how it happens these days more often is you don't really have a conversation. But if you're the kind of person that wants to have a conversation about that and wants to know about that, and that's important to you, then do it. You know, that's
100%.
So we did. We had a conversation and it's been awesome. And we spent the weekend together this past weekend for the first time, like
did y'all go anywhere just, or just like in
we
town?
Did yeah we had like oh. actual yeah we went
vacation.
To this like kind of it's really cool actually, you guys. In Philadelphia they have this thing called the Eastern State Penitentiary and it's a very old jail. It's a really old like Al Capone, I don't know if you know who that is, he's like an old gangster. His jail cell was
that
there.
Mafia,
yes, he's kind of a mob gangster. It's just such a cool place to go and it's really creepy. I like creepy things. And we went there and we just went dinner, walked around the city and it was so lovely. And we just,
wow. I know, I saw your story and I was like, that doesn't look like her place. I was like, where is she?
Yeah, no, it wasn't.
Not your place.
No. You know, I've been very patient and I'm learning to trust things more. So if anyone listening sort of in the beginning stages of dating or in a relationship, you know, I will tell you, I couldn't have gotten through half of the things that were going on in my brain without talking to my therapist. I mean, I was talking to her like once a week and it was so helpful, and I still am. And I'm just learning to trust it. And he's such a kind, awesome person. I just really,
really
hope, I hope that it continues, but you know, I'm trying not to think of the what ifs or anything like that.
So if y'all were listening, in our past episode, Allison kind of touched on, when we were talking about the dating episode, she touched on attachment anxiety, and we actually have a special guest next week.
Yes.
Who will be diving in.
Yes. We're so excited. We're not sure when the episode's coming out. We're going to record next week, so just stay tuned for that. But that will be in the next couple of weeks. We'll have an episode on attachment anxiety that will be awesome. And that will help. That will be so helpful for anyone that's newly dating or who's been in a relationship for 10 years, like, and feels anxious. This is going to be amazing information. So tune into that. That's kind of – how have you been, Taylor? Update us, because I think what you're going to tell us is going to actually lead us into our discussion today, which we're talking about physical symptoms and how it relates to anxiety. So fill us in on what's been going on.
So everyone knows that COVID's spiking right now. And for me, I feel like we took it so seriously when it spiked like this in March. Like, everyone was on the same boat. Like, we were all like, okay, we're going to buckle down. We're all going to like sacrifice our wants to take care of our health. And then it feels like we're at this spike, and now it's a tear between like half of your friends wanting to do these things and you being torn by being like, no, I'm not going to do that because of COVID. And you almost feel uncomfortable. And so I have been going to do stuff. And by going to do stuff, I mean like going to a dinner or something. But I mean, it is still a lot of people. Like, I'm in Dallas, Texas, guys, and you would think COVID doesn't exist here.
I mean,
you would literally, it's bad.
That's what I heard from people that have been in Florida too. I know there's other states probably, but like, no one wears masks. That's what someone was telling me about, like, where they
it's
were in
just
Florida.
Like, I feel like some people think like here's the rules. So we have to wear a mask when you're like walking around a restaurant, but once you sit down, you can take it off. So we have this place called Legacy Hall, which is like this huge garden and garden with like tables and stuff. And there's been concerts every Friday and Saturday night. And it's almost like these people think like when you sit down and take off your mask that like COVID's like, oh, she's sitting. Like, we can't attack.
Is it outside though?
Yeah, but it's like mass amount of people. Like, if you, I wish I had a picture to show you. It's like you would think it was a straight up like a country concert,
okay.
Like a famous person.
That's a little intense.
It's enough for me to cringe. And like, we had a waiter, and he was literally like, I was like, "Do you want to sit in my lap?" Like, that's how close he was getting. Like, I feel like, and his mask was hanging down. So it's just like, there's all this like uncomfortableness with like how I feel versus like how relatives feel or how your friends feel and how serious they want to take it. And then you're weird for like standing up for yourself, especially like for me, it's hard for me to be like, "Hey guys, can y'all wear your mask?" Like, I am a very people pleaser person, so I'm not going to be the one to say that. But then I'm the one left with the after effect of spending a whole week diagnosing myself with COVID, especially like Allison and I were talking about before this episode with the weather changes. I don't know if any of you guys get affected, but we had like a high of 80 and then the next day it was a high of 60. And like right after that day, I am just congested.
Me too.
I'm tired. I have a headache. And then like, I'm sitting here just like in my thoughts. Like yesterday, I was so in my thoughts. I feel so bad. I didn't do like music therapy Monday on my stories. And I was just like, oh, I'm letting everyone down. And then I went into a spiral of like, okay, but I got to take care of myself. And then like, I tried to work out. I told Allison this. I tried to work out and I was just like, shortness of breath. I'm feeling it. And it's like, no, like I wasn't. But
Can I tell you also, I've been experiencing the same exact things. And I think some of my stuff is related to allergies. Like I just have allergies at random times. And I think because it's actually.
Oh my gosh. Me what? Too. But yeah. I like look up pollen and it's low.
Yeah. Yeah. But also I'm affected by it. Like even if it's the day after or something like oh, when the okay. wet. Yeah. So the weather here has been like gorgeous the past. Well, maybe not the 2 days or whatever, but like when the weather changes, one, that's definitely a trigger for me. And also
I'm thinking that's more common than, and it's not talked about. I think people are severely affected by weather, significant weather changes, like immediate.
Oh, totally. Well, so let me tell you, so I've been getting like, my nose has been running a little bit, like I've been coughing, right? Like I'm like, like, and of course I can't cough now without thinking I have COVID. Okay. I'm coughing and I have a runny nose and I'm like, my throat hurts a little bit, but like, okay, I'll take a DayQuil. I took a DayQuil, felt totally better. I was like, okay. Yeah. So then honestly, you know what I've been doing? I literally am making myself taste food and drink things. So I don't know if I can and smell things.
Allison.
Because
Allison.
The taste and the smell. I'm like, can I still smell this? Can I still
Allison.
Smell?
I thought it was just me. I straight up pick up a candle every like 20 minutes. Oh and I'm like, God. Can I smell this?
I'm like, okay. I
chewed my food too long last night just to like try and taste it. And then I was like, oh my gosh, I can't taste it. And then I'm like, no, you just chewed it for like literally 10 minutes. Of course you can't taste it. I'm being so dramatic right now, Allison. Like,
I know.
I don't know what's going on.
This is going to be part of our topic today. Like,
yeah,
we're going to talk a lot about how physical symptoms really affect anxiety and how they go, how physical symptoms are part, like the mind and the body are connected and how what we feel physically can 100% be totally related to our anxiety. So, yeah. You know, or it can, you know, it can influence our anxiety. Like we might be feeling completely calm and fine. And then we do have a physical symptom that happens. I mean, maybe we do have a stomach ache from something we ate or something. And then it just sparks our anxiety about things.
Right.
So I think the one thing that's really important to say, which is probably something that I've said over and over on here. So if it's repetitive, I'm sorry, but this is really important, is that everyone's anxiety looks different for them. So everyone's physical symptoms that they have that's related to their anxiety is going to look different. So something that's right. So like Taylor and I will both talk a little bit about our physical symptoms and what happens to us when we each get anxious, and you'll see that there's going to be a difference. So Taylor, talk about your experience, because I know you have panic disorder.
Yeah. So I feel like with panic disorder and health anxiety, so yours is like super GI.
Yes. You're like mine all is like GI. All in my stomach.
Yeah. Because I don't feel like I've ever heard you talk about like feeling dizzy or.
I do sometimes when I get a flare, when I get like the acid reflux thing, that's not necessarily related to anxiety, but I do get throat closing up sometimes. Yeah. And so that makes me dizzy, but not, that's very rare.
Yeah.
Dog is like,
oh, hi Izzy. It's Izzy, right?
Yeah. She's like trying to get me to whatever with her bone. Sorry. Go on.
Oh, okay. Well, mine was panic disorder with a health anxiety, which I feel like is the worst combo. So if you are struggling with that, just know you're not alone. And it is very debilitating and it is very hard to believe that the symptoms you're feeling are, I hate to say just from anxiety. Like I would say that before, but it's not minimizing anxiety. You know what I mean?
Right.
Like, but it's better than a heart attack, you know? So like, a lot of people, this is actually a question I think is good to answer on here, because so many people are like, how do I know though that this isn't something bad? And a cardiologist told me one time, he was like, if you are having a heart attack or a stroke, you would not have time to sit around and wonder or question, am I having a heart attack? Am I having a stroke? Like you wouldn't be so focused on your physical symptoms. Like people would be calling 911 for you.
Right. Right. That's actually really good insight.
Oh, it was the best advice a cardiologist ever gave me. I was like, it made me feel so much better, because I feel like we can spend an hour obsessing over our heart palpitating weird or feeling like we're having a stroke, like our faces maybe droop. I can't tell you the amount of times I've looked in the mirror and tried to see if my one side of my face was drooping. But we wouldn't feel like dizzy for an hour if we were having a stroke. Like we would be just having a stroke.
Right,
we wouldn't feel our heart racing or palpitating for an hour if we were having a heart attack. We would just be having a heart attack.
Yeah.
And so that really helped me. You wouldn't have that time to like obsess and question, is this something bad? You know?
So is that your one of your main physical symptoms is dizziness?
No, my main ones were just severe, like so heart palpitations and heart racing, thinking I was having a heart problem, headaches, thinking I had a brain tumor, because it was the panic disorder symptoms, but with the anxiety giving the health anxiety giving the diagnosis. So it was the worst combo.
Oh my gosh. Okay.
Because I could have, I was having about 10, like every couple hours, a panic attack.
Oh my gosh.
So I think that's where there's like a misconception, because I had someone the other day be like, maybe your anxiety isn't that bad. And I'm like, okay, whoa, whoa, whoa. So like panic disorder with health anxiety, which I feel like is a common combo. Yeah. It's just like you would diagnose every symptom I had with some type of extreme illness. So it was never like something simple. Like I would diagnose the heart and the heart palpitations with a heart attack. I would diagnose the dizziness with a stroke. I would diagnose the eye twitching with a stroke. I would diagnose the headaches with a brain tumor. I would diagnose the like feeling of the floor. Like it would feel like I was walking on a boat or like the floor under me was like moving. So I would diagnose that with like ALS or MS. Like I used to watch gait videos on YouTube. Like people walk, like do you know what gait is? Like having a gait?
No.
Yeah, so it's like your gait, like the way you walk.
I haven't.
So like if your foot, yeah. So like if you watch some people with like a neurological disorder, they like might slide their foot or like carry their foot a different way. So I would literally, I one time straight up, I videoed myself walking.
Oh my gosh.
Okay, round two. Name something that's not boring.
A laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire, huh?
Ah, oh, sorry. We were looking for Chumba Casino. That's right. Chumbacasino.com has over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
It's so real. Oh my gosh. So mine was like, I obsessed over the big picture. Like, you know what I mean? It was never something simple. It was like always like an instant thought. And it's like, I didn't even have time to like not have the instant thought. Like my brain immediately went there. It was like heart palpitations, having heart attack, and then it would spiral. So like the more you're like, I'm having a heart attack, the symptoms get worse. And then you're like, oh, this is real.
Yeah. And with panic disorder, it's so, you know, it might be different. It might look, the physical symptoms might seem are so much worse than someone who has maybe generalized anxiety, who has had panic attacks before, but doesn't have panic disorder, because the physical symptoms are so intense. And so that's another thing about panic attacks versus anxiety attacks. Panic attacks are very sudden and they're very intense and they're very physical. And so, and so you could have shortness of breath, racing heart, dizziness, like gastrointestinal issues. You know, I've heard people have, you know, don't let this scare you, but some of you guys might have experienced this. Some people have told me they've passed out during a panic attack, which again, not the norm.
Yeah, because your blood pressure rises when you're having a panic attack. So this helped me too. A nurse told me one time, because I used to be like, I always feel like I'm going to pass out. Like every time I'd get a panic attack, it's like I would warn the people around me like, hey, I'm about to pass out. And I would say it over and over because I truly felt I was. Yeah. And a nurse told me one time, he was like, your blood pressure is so high when you're panicked. Like, cause he took it one time when I was having a panic attack. He was like, it's impossible for you to pass out. However, if you are prone to vagal synapse or whatever, I always say
like
that word wrong.
The vagus nerve maybe,
or something.
Yeah. It's like some people are just more prone to passing out. And so like if you are more prone to passing out, you might trigger your vagus nerve. But that's like very specific people. Like most people, almost everyone, you would know if you're a passer outer. Most people.
Yeah.
It's impossible to pass out.
But also, you know, there's just so many. That's why when I say like anxiety, this type of physical symptoms that were related to anxiety look so different for everyone. They look so different. So some people say they get, you know, some people get like tingling stuff in their hands or their
arms. I would have that before panic attacks. So I would feel like a metal taste in my mouth kind of. And then like it felt like shooting things in my fingers and toes. And then it felt like a heat rush through my body. And that's how I knew a panic attack was coming on.
Wow. Right. Yeah. And see, so what happens a lot of times and with clients that I work with, they feel one specific symptom happen and then forget it. Then they're in a spiral.
Forget it.
Go from like one to a nine because they're like, oh my God, I'm getting one. And then everything starts.
Yes. Yep. And then you have like every symptom.
And that's actually kind of what happens with me with my gastrointestinal stuff. You know, I actually feel like I'm managing it pretty well now because I'll tell you some of my coping skills in like a second. But I, you know, in my brain, I would feel one type of pain in my stomach or I'd feel really nauseous or something just come on really quickly and I would go crazy. I would like spiral, spin and be like, oh my gosh, what's going on? Not be like, I'd be not in the moment. You know, I'd be experiencing some like derealization and I would just be like, I'd have to get out of the situation I was in. I'd just be so, and then I'd start. And then the racing heart and the dizziness that would come along with it too. But that was a huge trigger. And it still is for me, but I just manage it so much better now. So I'm able to, I know I talk a lot about the rating scale and how, you know, it's really good to understand your triggers and to know on a scale from 1 to 10 where you are with your anxiety, 1 being, you know, the calmest you've ever felt and 10 being like you have to go to the ER right now. So I've done a very good job of becoming very aware of when I'm going to a 2 and a 3 and a 4 that I do all of the skills that I have and in my toolbox, you know, I will practice them at wherever I am. And there's a lot of them I can do. So the one biggest one that I love that I do all the time when I know I'm feeling is something called progressive muscle relaxation. I don't know if I talked about it on our podcast. I think
I don't think you've talked about it on our podcast. We've talked about it, I think, on our pages before.
Okay. Yeah. So I might have tapped into it. I don't know, but I'm going to talk about it again because it's so important. And it's so helpful to me and so helpful to so many other people that I've worked with. So progressive muscle relaxation is essentially going through different parts of your body, different muscle parts, and contracting the muscle, like squeezing it very, very tight first couple seconds, and then releasing and letting it relax. So, and the science behind it, I'm not like a scientist, but the science behind it is essentially, from what I remember, is that, you know, you're constricting this muscle so tight that when you release them, it's almost like you have this feeling of just kind of like being completely relaxed, like this release of your muscles just relaxes it. And I do that starting with my eyes and like I scrunch my forehead, I scrunch my eyes for a couple seconds and I let go. I like smile really wide for a couple seconds and then I let go. I bring my shoulders up to my ears for a couple seconds. Like, you know, it's like 4 or 5. And you guys go on YouTube and just, you know, you can Google PMR for anxiety and find amazing videos. And then like I'll, you know, put my hand in a ball my hand up in a fist for a couple seconds and then release it. And it's just something about doing that. Like I actually did it yesterday because my cramps were really bad and I was feeling very like physically nauseous and all those symptoms were like coming to me and it was like ridiculously amazing. I did it for 20 minutes and I felt so much better. Now I had to, you know, that was like a pretty severe for me, like pain that I was having, like physical pain, but, and I had a heating pad on. This is all stuff too related to stuff you don't care about, but regardless, PMR is one of the best things. I love progressive muscle relaxation. And another thing that really is helpful to me with that is I use peppermint essential oil.
Yeah.
And I literally just take, I open it and I smell it and I take a really deep breath in of the peppermint oil and it just does something.
Yeah.
Just so like calming. I mean, peppermint, again, I'm not a scientist. Do not quote me on this, but I've read a lot about peppermint being really good for nausea.
Oh, so, yeah.
So that's just two of the things that I've tried and I love, but it's interesting. Just this, that physical symptom of that just triggers me. And I'm like, oh my God, I don't want to feel like this. I don't want to feel like this. Like what's going to happen?
Yeah. I definitely, like you, have gotten more, there have been some things recently that I've been, I think with this whole COVID thing. So like, when I say I'm recovered, I've talked about this before, but like that it means I just don't have those extreme panic attacks or panic attacks where I need to go to the ER or go or like that ruin my whole day. So like I have anxiety. And like lately what I've been struggling with is actually dissociating.
Oh, what do you mean?
So like just like I'm not here. Like I'll be in like I was right. at dinner the other night and I'm like, I felt like I just like, is this life? Like, is life real? Like, and normally back then when I was having the extreme panic disorder, that would have sent me into full on panic attack. I'm dying. But now it's like, so like it happened to me at, so the weirdest thing is I was listening to this other anxiety page doing a Instagram live and she was talking about it. And like, since listening to her, I'm like, gosh, dang it. She described it way too in detail to where like, I think my brain was like, mimic. Okay, mimic it. And now I'm like going to that place. It's like, I'd never had that before. I had mm-hmm. some depersonalization kind of back in the day, but like, it's weird. I was like, even like watching a YouTube video yesterday and I'm like, it's like I blacked out. I'm like, what did she just say? Like those last 5 minutes. It was weird. And then I like got weird. Wow. And I was like, oh, I think I feel like I'm not here. Like yeah. this time isn't real right now. And I never had that before. Yeah. I think that one's not talked about enough.
No, I agree. Well, and the thing is too, that, you know, we should have mentioned in the beginning of this is that if you guys are experiencing certain physical symptoms and you haven't yet gone to your doctor about them, I mean, that's really the first step of all of this. Like you want, if you're experiencing something physically, you always want to go to a doctor to rule out, you know, anything medical and anything more serious that is going on. You know, we're not going to sit here and say that every single thing you're feeling physically is like related to anxiety. I mean, we're not saying that, right? There's so many, the mind and the body are connected, but 1000%, you always want to go to your doctor to rule other medical conditions out before. And also, you know, before anything, and you just say, oh, it's anxiety, you know, you want to talk to a doctor. I mean, it's good. And it's good to talk to a doctor that you feel like can also, you know, maybe consult with a therapist that you're seeing or a yeah. counselor that you're seeing, you know, because there's so much connection there. So,
my advice on that. So yes, I used to take that and run when people would say, you need to go to a doctor. I would tell my parents, well, guys, I need to go to a doctor. And they're like, Taylor, you've already been to a doctor. So here's my thing. You go to the doctor one time. Exactly. And if that doctor lets you leave that building with no extra test, he or she would not let you leave that building if something was wrong with you and they wanted to test something more.
Yes.
Trust exactly. me, they make good money doing those extra special tests on you.
Right.
They want to do those. But if they look at you and they're like, she or he is fine, that's when you have to sit down with yourself and be like, I'm okay. And like the doctor really? Wouldn't let me leave the building if I wasn't okay. Like if you went to the doctor and they felt like you were dying truly, they would admit you to the hospital immediately.
Yeah. Exactly. But so if you're listening to this and you have never been to a doctor or
yes.
you are wondering, yeah. like, go. okay?
Yeah.
But if you've been already and they said that things are okay,
do not take Allison's advice to your parents and be like, Allison said I need to go to the hospital again.
Yeah.
No.
For people who have not actually seen a doctor and might be feeling some physical stuff, because it is important to at least go once.
Yeah. Not me, like weekly.
No, you definitely don't want to be doing that. I mean, that is health anxiety. That's like illness anxiety.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. But, you know, everyone has different physical symptoms. I think it's important to recognize like that is connected to anxiety, that the mind and the body are connected, and that we're just learning a lot more education now about how there's a lot of things physically that we experience that can be related to what's going on in our brain. So,
and I can't recommend it enough, guys, but like when you have a panic attack and you feel those physical symptoms, you slightly black out. Like you slightly have this like forgetful, when you're in that irrational state and you go back to rational, you kind of forget that irrational state of mind. And so then you have another panic attack and you're like, this one feels so different. This one, it's real this time. I'm really dying this time. This is why journaling and writing down your physical symptoms immediately after, or if you're capable during a panic attack, which is really hard to do, but if you're capable during or after writing down every symptom you felt and like how, like just writing out like literally every thought you had, because I go back and I read so many of my journal entries and they were all really the same. But every panic attack felt so different. Like it felt so real. It's like, I would always say that too. I'm like, no, this time. I remember saying that so much. I'm like, no, this one's different. I'm really dying this time.
Yeah. No, I know. Well, and you guys have to remember too that, you know, I didn't say that. I've said this on other podcasts probably so many times, but the reason that our mind and our body are connected is because of our nervous system. So our sympathetic nervous system is our fight or flight response. So every time we feel like we're in a dangerous situation or threatening situation, our nervous system responds to that. And it physically responds as well, which is why our sympathetic nervous system is activated and all of those physical symptoms come into play because we think we're in danger, which goes back to, you know, the caveman days of protecting ourselves and how we need that response in order to actually protect ourselves from something that is dangerous, whether it's a bear or something, right, back in the day. But we still have that response. And that's what creates those physical symptoms. So it's a biological thing happening. And that's why our brain creates these stories. And that's why many times when we have panic disorder or anxiety disorders, we have to work on rewiring the way that we're thinking, because that's really what's going to change it. So, but I love that you said that about journaling, because that brings me to like my healing tip of the week. I think that along with the journaling, I love that. And now I'm not going to sit here and say, okay, when you're in the middle of a panic attack, take out that journal and you're going to automatically just feel better. Okay, that's not going to happen. But what you can do in that, as part of that journaling, or that, you know, whatever you decide to do to gain insight about your symptoms, is something I talked about earlier, which is keep a scale, like a rating scale every day of your anxiety. So like, and you can find the rating scale on my Instagram page. It's on one of my posts. I posted it maybe a couple weeks ago. I'll do it again, maybe soon, but every day, maybe at morning and at night, wake up and you rate your anxiety from 1 to 10. Where are you? I want you to become more familiar of your own, like your own awareness to your own anxiety, right? So, and maybe at night when you do the rating scale from 1 to 10, you also jot down some notes saying, okay, well, maybe it was different this morning. What do you think? What were some things that happened throughout your day that maybe made your anxiety go to a higher level or a lower level? Maybe it was higher in the morning and it gradually got better. Maybe it was a lot lower in the morning and then increasingly like, oh my gosh, it increased. So like keeping that rating scale is honestly the best way to start, which I talk actually is part of my Healing Anxious Triggers course, because it's like the first two lessons of it on how to keep this rating scale and what to do specifically, because that self-awareness is going to be the first step of really knowing when you're actually becoming more panicked or seeing a pattern of when it happens.
That's literally why I created that one day at a time journal planner, because in it, you have to check in the morning and then you have to check in at night, and each day you have to log your symptoms. So like it is the awesome. Perfect platform to have with therapy, with courses. You just go, you take it with you wherever you go.
Exactly. So I would suggest that, doing the rating scale at least, you know, for a week, seeing how it's helpful to you. But I mean, I do it now just habitually. So, So I hope you guys enjoyed, you know, talking a little bit about this. I know sometimes these conversations can be a little bit triggering for everybody. So We do want to let you know that we have so many resources on our Instagram. Mine is The Anxiety Healer. Taylor, what is your Instagram again?
Mine's the good old @health_anxiety.
And so many resources on how to heal your anxiety and help with these symptoms that might feel debilitating. And you can hear our story and our journey. And you can check out the Anxiety Healing School, which is my online platform that has a bunch of anxiety healing courses that you can go online and do from the comfort of your own home. A lot of them are amazing to do while you're actually in therapy and working with a counselor. A lot of them you can do on your own. You don't need to be in therapy. But just go to theanxietyhealingschool.com and you can check those out. And what else, Taylor, about you have an awesome blog.
Yes, I have peakofpanic.com. Like I said, I created that planner journal, and that one's been a hit, especially for me. I gave you one, right?
Yes.
And then Allison's actually going to be giving one away.
Yes, I'm doing a giveaway. Because
she hit 250.
No, that's amazing. Thank you guys so much. I just got to 250,000 on my Instagram, and I'm so excited because that just means I'm spreading more awareness for anxiety healing and mental health awareness. So I love it, and I love you guys. So we'll be doing a giveaway soon. But we hope you enjoyed this, and we will talk to you soon.
Talk soon.
Happy healing.
I love when you say that. Okay, bye guys.
Hi healers. Thanks so much for listening to this episode of The Anxiety Chicks with Taylor and I. As always, you can find us on Instagram. You can find me, Allison Sepinera, as The Anxiety Healer, and Taylor as health_anxiety. And as always, you can check out the Anxiety Healing School. I just dropped a new course called When Panic Attacks, Triggers That Create Fear and How to Overcome Them, all about overcoming your anxious triggers and finding more awareness on what contributes to your anxious thoughts and giving you all the tools on how to overcome them. It's a self-paced course, and if there's any struggle with finances, there's a payment plan available as well. So go to theanxietyhealingschool.com to check that out. And as always, go to peakofpanic.com to check out updates about Taylor's blog and her journal she's coming out with. Thanks, everyone. Happy healing.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over at the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Coincidence? I think not. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere, even at 30,000 feet. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's ChumbaCasino.com and live the Chumba life.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18+.